one of my favorite teachers is Brian Johnson. He puts out content, Philosopher's Notes. It's kind of a 6-page PDF breaking down a book, or a master class, which is hour and a half course. It takes a bunch of different books and combines it on a certain topic, whether that's nutrition or meditation or productivity or like purpose. About 246 days ago, he announced this 1,000-day epic optimizing challenge, where he basically released a 1 to 2 minute video every single day with a big idea that he was excited about. I'm super, super good at doing things like day by day by day by day by day, and like just being ridiculously consistent and disciplined. And I'd also been working on drawing, so being a better artist. It was a goal of mine 2 years ago. Bought a couple books, how to draw, and been practicing. And thought, oh, this is actually a really cool thing. Like, 1,000-day optimizing challenge. Can I commit to getting a little bit better each and every day? You know, not thinking, okay, I need to be 50 million times better in 3 years from now. Like, I don't even know what that means, but I can get 4% better every single day. I can get 1% better every single day. And when you add up these little improvements over time, you create really, really massive results, but it never feels like a big, big process along the way. It's just a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. It's like that, I don't know if you ever heard of the compounding penny, the idea of like, okay, if I gave you the choice between $1 million today or a penny that doubles every day for a month, like which one would you choose? I actually don't think, it might be like $5 million. And it depends on which month. Like, most people are like, yeah, I know this one. Like, you pick the penny. If it's February, that like cash prize is actually a better choice.
It's actually greater.
Because it's in those last few days where the penny like really becomes. But yeah, just that the growth is exponential. We make these little things each and every day get better and better and better and better. So the plus one pick notes, I take Brian's content, I draw a little picture note of it. It helps me to remember it, internalize it, and practice it. Studies show that when you write things down, it helps you remember it better. So it's a way for me to study and then to also create kind of a visual idea of it that I put out to the socials. So far, it's just been Instagram, but we're working on some systems to get that through all the different socials. So yeah, it's just one idea every single day, always actionable, always practical. It ends with a question. Like, how can you actually apply this to your life? So I think yesterday's was, there are no good, no bad teams, only bad leaders. Yeah. Leif Babin and Jocko Willink, this great book, Extreme Ownership. But the takeaway from that is like, if you think that you're on a bad team and everybody around you sucks, it's not them, it's you. And so it's on you to take ownership of the situation to figure out, okay, where do we want to be going? And how can I take one little baby step toward moving toward that destination.
Yeah. Amazing. And I want to like maybe as screen share and show some of your like plus one pictures, because they're very artistic as well. And that makes it like really engaging and like, oh, this is, and simplified too, like lesson of the day. Let me self-reflect on, you know, how I'm showing up as a leader, how I'm reacting to things, or stepping into this lesson, this behavior.
There have been, you know, just maybe to tie that whole process back to the idea of like habits or a diet change or whatever. The first one was terrible, like zero pictures, all text, and like couldn't even read it. Like it was in my old physical journal, and then like they were still bad for the first 50 to 100, and they're still bad today. Like there's a lot of improvements to be made. But just getting started and like just doing it, knowing that like, okay, this isn't going to be perfect, but I'm going to send it out there anyway. This first meal, like I'm not going to completely switch from whatever diet I had before to this new thing that I want. Or like, I'm not going to go to the gym and like squat 1,000 pounds. Like, no, you'll destroy your body. But making these little steps, being willing to like get to the gym or sit down and like have one healthier dish, one like a vegetable instead of french fries, whatever. Although, are potatoes vegetables? They're a root vegetable.
I think yeah. That's what we would call them. They're starchy.
So maybe something green for something or something white. But just the idea of like getting started, knowing that it's not going to be perfect. I still have, like last week or the week ago, I remember putting one out that I was like, man, this is not very good. I'm going to ship it anyway, just because that's like my practice. But being willing to show up and just try day in and day out, and like that creates change.
Yeah. And I love that as a lesson in itself, that I recently just watched the movie with Mila Kunis and other amazing actresses, Bad Moms. And
I've not seen that yet.
Oh, it's so good. It's so funny. But it was her moment of standing in, up in front of women and saying, I don't get it right all the time. I love my kids, but I'm not this perfect, you know, mom that's getting every single meal out on the table and showing up in perfection every single day of like whatever the societal pressure is to do so or what other people think I should be doing. And I'm still showing up. I'm doing it anyways. And life is messy. And it's like all the moms stood up and basically said, me too. So that's...
I mean... so I continuously return to these philosopher's notes, and every day we'll read one of them just to kind of revisit these ideas. I read Daring Greatly today. So Brené Brown, super, super amazing woman, but she talks about the paradox of vulnerability where like we value vulnerability in others, but not in ourselves. When other people are vulnerable, we see that as a strength, but when we're vulnerable, we see that as a weakness. And we all have these shared experiences where like Mila Kunis, that's who you said was the lead, mm-hmm. right? So like her sharing, like I'm this like flawed, I'm not perfect. Everybody relates to that because it's true. And we have like, I'll speak personally here. Like I have a tendency to expect myself to be like perfect and better and like have no flaws. And that's just impossible. And when I try and strive for that, like I get stressed out, I get worked up. I want to have, you know, even with something like the business where it's doing really, really well. I want to have figured out like, okay, for the next 30 years, like I'm set. I've already got in place the contracts, like don't have to worry. I want to get to this point where like, okay, I'm done doing the hard work and now I can just kind of coast, but that doesn't exist. And especially, you know, as I was growing the business a little bit and thinking, okay, how do I get to next month? Or can I get it so like, I'm not worried about, you know, 3 months from now where the income is coming from. And when I get too far in the future, I start to get stressed out and like anxious, how am I gonna do this? Da, 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 da. And I heard this idea that was an undefeatable mind. So the idea that like to be undefeatable, to have a mind that's like undefeatable, it's not we get to this point where nothing's ever gonna hurt us or we're not gonna ever have any challenges where we're just like these ultimate beings, but it's having this confidence and this trust that no matter what comes, we'll be able to handle it. And for me, that just landed so powerfully. Like, okay, I don't need to worry about figuring everything out forever. Like, no, I'm going to die. Okay, I'll work backwards from there, however many years. Like, I don't need to know all that today. I know that in 6 months from now, the person, just based on who I am, like, no matter what challenge shows up for me, I know that I have what it takes to show up and to meet it. And to me, that just gave me this, like, release of pressure. Like, like, okay. If I'm trying to change what I'm eating, you know, I don't need to like be perfect from now until forever. I just have to know that when I inevitably like make that mistake or slip up, I have what it takes to then get back on track. And like over the long run, that's going to create what I want to create.
Yeah. And what I would venture to say too, is that it's almost going to create what you want to create more efficiently and faster than if you continue to stress out about, oh, I'm not there yet. How am I going to get there? Mm-hmm. Where that is actual mental energy. And what you're sharing also reminded me of like, if I'm working with a client that like wants to lose that weight, that the more we're trying to force it off, instead of relaxing into the journey, take the pressure of that result off of that, you know, $1 million company, of that, you know, huge world changing organization that you're going to create, taking the pressure of that result off for today and going back to also committing to what am I doing for today and relaxing into the process is the very thing. I think it's practice and sometimes easier said than done. But when we can relax into the process, take that pressure off ourselves and remind ourselves that we have what it takes, that result will actually come easier to us or faster. So one thing I want to ask you that's affiliated with this is, do you have like a self-acknowledgement or a self-celebration practice to where like you, to help you not just be in the mindset of like, what I say is, so what, now what? Like, so what, I accomplished that. I'm not there yet. I'm still not there yet. So like, we're not acknowledging where we are. Mm-hmm. So do you think it's important to have conscious celebration of actually exactly where we're at?
Yeah, absolutely. Guy named Troy and Laney Basham. So, most decorated rifle shooter in like history, but I've adopted his practice. Essentially, that's like me. So anytime I do something that aligns with the person that I want to be, or that I'm proud of, I say that's like me. And sometimes I say it out loud. Sometimes I write it in the journal. Sometimes I'll try like hashtag TLM. That's like me. But okay, I made a choice here that is like in alignment with my high self. Like, that's like me. Okay, I woke up, I meditated. That's like me. I went to the gym, I crushed this workout. That's like me. Just really building all these imprints of, this is the person that I want to be, like, this is the person that I am, like, that's like me, that's like me, that's like me. So from that celebration standpoint, it's like, amazing. I'm doing the things that I say that I want to be doing, and I'm celebrating that. And then my mental self-image, you know, these imprints, they all hit, and eventually, like, that is who I am. If I fall short, if I miss the mark, it's not like, ah, dude, you effed up, like, you suck, you are a failure. Although sometimes, like, I catch myself going down that road, and it's okay, bring it back. That's not true. But I just say needs work, right? It needs work. This isn't perfect. It needs a little bit of work. And if I'm feeling excited, I'll actually figure out, okay, how can I make this better? Where does this need work? And like, what can I do to improve it? So anything that's positive, that's good, that's in the direction that I want to be going, celebrate that, make that a part of who I am, like, internalize that, this is who I am. Anything that's less than I want to be, don't internalize that, but just say like, yeah, that needs work. That's something that I need to work on and to improve. And then the final piece is just a gratitude practice. Gratitude, this magical wonder drug miracle. You write down three things that you're grateful for one time a week. Maybe it's five things you're grateful for one time a week. You can become up to 25% happier. That's one time per week. So like, you know, 2 minutes. It's insane. I do every morning. I'll write down in the journal three things that I'm grateful for. Every single dinner, my wife and I will share three things that we're each grateful for, along with two things that we love about each other. Because in a relationship, just like for an individual, like, you have to kind of reinforce these things. It takes practice. It's easy to forget, but having that conscious, like, this is what I'm grateful for, and this is what I really love about you. Reinforcing that, building that over time, really creates some magic. And, you know, there were some times earlier on where one of us was in a state, and maybe we were upset with the other person. Maybe we were upset with other things, but it was like, I'm not doing this. I don't feel like being grateful right now. I'm not playing this game. But over time, we've learned to just, no matter where we are, like, we're sticking to it. We're doing that. We know that puts us in a better mood, and celebrating our blessings, counting our blessings. You know, I'm grateful for everything. There's really very few things I'm not grateful for, but that's like me. Internalizing wins, needs work. Not internalizing the losses, but just recognizing, like, hey, I've fallen short here. Cool. I'm going to do a little bit better next time. That's like me, to not beat myself up.
Yes, that's a good way. I can totally say that's one of my biggest takeaways from today, and I'm definitely going to use that. That's like me. I just love that little simple kind of mental note and positive self-reinforcement of behaviors, because I thrive really well off of anyone, whether it's myself or someone else, saying good job, Tess. So that's going to be like super helpful, and thank you for sharing that. And what you were sharing with the exercise and the practice that you and Kristen do even before eating reminded me of Bruce and I have listened to some videos of like Harville Hendricks, who wrote the book Getting the Love You Want, and him and his wife, how they talk about they step up and into, no matter where the mood is or where anyone's at, every night before bed, they even switch like who's responsible for making sure that they do it. So
I like that.
But to say, I appreciate you for this. I appreciate this. So the word appreciate is very powerful. So it just reminded me of what you were sharing.
Two meanings, appreciate. So appreciate of like I'm grateful for, and appreciate as in like appreciate in value, like a house appreciates theoretically. Mm-hmm. So the things that we appreciate. When we appreciate, they grow in value. That's Woo! Not my idea. That's a Tal Ben-Shahar idea, one of my favorite professors. But yeah, and getting the love you want. When people ask me for relationship advice, that's one of the top books I recommend. He's a brilliant guy. It's a great book.
What's his name again?
Harville Hendricks, Dr. Harville Hendricks.
Oh, Harville Hendricks. I thought you were talking about the professor.
Tal Ben-Shahar is the professor. But the things that we appreciate. And it's, you know, it's so true. I know, you know, for a lot of people that are trying to make a physical transformation, it can be hard to appreciate where you are in this moment because it's not where you want to be. But appreciating yourself for wanting to make that change, appreciating that, like, no matter what's happened in the past, like you're here present today and you're putting in the work or it doesn't even have to work. Maybe it can be easy, but willing to make the changes. Like I'm so grateful that this is something that's important to me and that I'm willing to maybe do some things that aren't comfortable in order to get to this place that I want to be in the future.
Yeah, that's 100% amazing. Yeah, advice for the physical changes and going, it goes, ties into everything that, that same concept of not being in self beat up about where we're at, but the more we can, if it is a body thing, the more we can love ourselves as we are. It doesn't mean that 100% of the time we have to love every single part of our body, but being in a place of gratitude, honor, and appreciation for what our body's actually doing for us every day can help us shift the mindset of not being mad at it. Like, oh, I just need you to lose weight or change or get stronger. But it just acknowledging ourselves for caring, like, hey, I'm not mad at myself for what I look like. I'm grateful for what my body can do. I'm acknowledging myself for stepping into practice, trying out new workouts. So it eases our mind around that. So
anytime you do something you don't want to do, right? Like yes. I'm not feeling like going to the gym today, but like, what would someone who's in shape, who's an athlete, who's a whatever, what would they do? Well, they would go to the gym. Okay. I'm going to go to the gym. Then like celebrating the shit. Like, yes.
Like
that's
I like
did
me.
This thing that I wasn't excited to do because it's more important to me to have this body or have this weight or have this physical image or whatever to be my best self, be my high self. That's more important to me than being comfortable all the time.
Like, I definitely just want to like thank you for being here with me today, and this is going to be so impactful for so many people. So I'd love for you to just kind of let us know what you have coming up down the pipeline that you're excited about, and where people can find you, how they can continue to learn and engage with you.
Yeah. So the easiest place to find me is michael.coach, michael.coach. My website's michaelbalsham.com, but most people have trouble spelling Balsham. So michael.coach is easier. The business is, the business is e5.co, but you can get there through michael.coach. Coming down the pipeline, there's some books, there's some speeches. I'm going to be launching a kind of group mastermind program coming up here in the end of quarter one, beginning of quarter two. That's going to be all about habits. How do we take all these great ideas and actually put them into practice in a sustainable way? I'm on all the socials. But again, everything can be found kind of through the website.
Awesome. Michael.coach. Love it. And you also have, if you go there as well, or even on michaelbalsham.com, I know it has your meditation book, which is super helpful. Little book, meditation, what, why, and how to meditate.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I'm one of the things I'm excited to lean into is helping 5% of the world have a daily mindfulness practice. So currently putting together a couple tools to make that easier to do so, including an online kind of pledge commitment where people can say like, I'm in, I will be one of this 5% that's going to commit to meditating every single day. Not for 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, whatever, but like starting with just 1 minute. Everybody can find 1 minute to take four deep conscious breaths. Maybe they're not even deep breaths. Maybe they're not even conscious breaths. Maybe they're like super crappy, distracted breaths. Like, that's okay. You've taken the 1 minute to at least try. You've showed up. So yeah, that's another thing that's exciting. That's coming up in the book. The book is great. Spoiler alert, every single chapter of the book ends with a let's take 30 seconds to a minute to breathe.
Just so, like you're in the book, you're going to be meditating. So
Yeah. Theory is rudimentary spirituality or it's the practice that's the advanced level. So moving from theory to practice as quickly as possible.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to just staying connected and sharing this with everyone, and you rock.
Yeah, thank you. Let me know. I'm happy to connect with any of your peeps. Any questions? I love people, especially people that are doing that work to become a little bit better, because that's what our world needs more of.
Awesome. I'm in. I'm going to sign the pledge.
Awesome.